Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday morning. Anyway, I forgot to do it in the last segment. Coming up on Monday, we'll have State Representative Jennifer Fidler and Dale Jackson from WVNN and a guest to be named later. Always kind of fill in that blank sometime Friday afternoon, but you will be aware of it during the 8 o'clock hour on Monday at x.com/Jeff_Poor. Joining us now, he is our returning champion. We do it at this time usually every week. Our friend, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's been a busy week back home here. Working for the constituents is busier than we are usually in Montgomery.
Well, we're obviously still on this this sales tax issue and what the beaches are collecting. Should they keep it, and you know, or should it continue to go to the rest of the county? Which is, I think, pretty simple to figure out. But I want to revisit one of the details here, and maybe you could add some clarity that this deal. And I talked to Kennan about it earlier this week, Mayor Kennan down in Orange Beach. But when Gulf Shores said that they were going to walk away, that the tax would continue to be collected by Baldwin County, but it was only agreed upon. Now, I don't know what the agreement was. I wasn't, you know, wherever that agreement took place, but it wasn't meant to be in perpetuity. It was meant until they serviced the debt, correct?
Yeah, and you know, you're correct in that. You know, it's hard to say anything necessarily is in perpetuity. It's the law and changing the law, right? And so the agreement was, yes, the law currently states the Baldwin County Board of Education receives the money countywide, because when the law was drafted originally and when it was changed, there was only the Baldwin County Board of Education. And so the agreement was, hey, when this debt is paid off that the county school system was still paying, then we'll come back and we'll change the law. And that was an agreement that was not memorialized in the split, you know, documentation, right? The divorce settlement, if you will, between Gulf Shores and the county school system, because neither one of them had necessarily the authority to change the law. I do. And so I said, I will introduce and we will, you know, agree that this is what we're going to do when the debt service rolls off on those particular items. And that happened last December. And in keeping with what I said I was going to do and the two superintendents, you know, agreed to, we move forward with that legislation. My frustration comes with the narrative that we would never agree to that, you know, from Superintendent Tyler. And unfortunately, my counter to that is you absolutely did agree to that. And whether you want to support it or not, or whether or not, you know, the school board wants to support it or not, it's fine. You know, you can have all those conversations. At the end of the day, you absolutely agreed that we would come back and do this when the debt rolled off. You know, it's not, that is a fact. That is something that happened.
I mean, is this in the realm of possibilities? And I'm not trying to get you to cede any ground here, but would there ever be or are there at least the possibility of some kind of deal, some kind of sharing agreement or something like that where, you know, they split that tax revenue?
Well, look, I've got the bill filed in two different forms, and I've got it that way for a reason, right? While we agreed that we would come back and file legislation and split this funding up, we didn't agree and didn't discuss exactly how that would be done, right? Would you leave the money that's collected in that school district or would you still collect it countywide and then divide it up by the number of students in each particular system? And so the devil's in the details, and I'm happy to, you know, compromise and work something out and come up with something that has some monochrome of fairness in it. But this position by the county superintendent, by Superintendent Tyler, is untenable, that we would never let any of this money go. And the problem with that is, Jeff, I think you're going to see other school systems be interested in, or other school systems form, other communities be interested in forming their own city school systems. And when that happens, they're going to be in the same boat. They're going to want a portion or all of the money that they're raising in their particular community as well. And so, you know, the beach school systems make an interesting point. Would the legislature ever pass a countywide tax that went only to city schools? Well, of course not. And so why would the, you know, the reverse of that be true? And as with so many things in Baldwin County, there's nowhere else in the state that does this. Nowhere. Everywhere that they have a countywide sales tax, it's distributed equally in some manner amongst the children or amongst the systems. You don't just have all of it going to one system. That's preposterous.
Well, and I was thinking about this, and this is very hypothetical. Like, if you are successful, and I don't know if you've thought about counting votes or any of that, but let's just pretend you are successful. Then all of a sudden, the onus of the funding mechanism for Baldwin County Public Schools is, I believe, where the population is. It's going to be on the Eastern Shore, and it's going to be a similar sort of situation where they're collecting sales tax revenue over where I live, and it's going to other parts of the county. And I think that's going to exacerbate the move out of the, I just don't think the way the system is, they've held it off as long as they could, but with population growth and expecting you could have one giant school system, I don't think it's tenable.
I think you're right. And I think you will see, you know, that conversation pick up and happen more and more. Because at the end of the day, you do have areas of the county that generate more tax revenue that are, frankly, subsidizing other areas of the county where the property values are not as high or where as much sales tax is not generated. And so when you end up in those situations, those folks that are in those areas where, again, property values are higher and sales tax collections are higher, they say, hey, we want to keep more of that money here as opposed to having to aggregate it at the county level and then fight over it for our sports facility or our gym or whatever else when we're raising an awful lot of that here. And so, you know, yes, you know, at some point it's about money. But there's another part of this that I think is an important part of this conversation, and that is state funding. And so we've had this conversation at a macro level about equity funding and the foundation program and how Baldwin County as a whole really contributes more than they get back because of our property values here, et cetera. Well, that's true. And then when you look at it at the county level too, it's true when you compare Eastern Shore cities and the beach cities to the rest of the county system. It's just a microcosm of that bigger picture. And so when Orange Beach and Gulf Shores left, the county system, the asset value of the county system went down. Those properties that remained in the county and not in the city went down, which meant that their state funding went up significantly because the value of that those assets is subtracted by from the foundation formula, the foundation program formula. And so I ran some numbers this morning, and in 2019, the county school system received $137,324,000. In 2025, the county school system received $180,574,000. That's a $43 million increase. And the student population between 2019 and 2025 is down by 412 students. So fewer students and $43 million more.
And so the question was raised yesterday. I was kind of ranting about this. Well, who's going to educate the rural students? But here's the thing. The school system, once you start doing this game of subtraction from this big school system, there are fewer students to educate in the rural areas. You don't need a big pot of money necessarily as big as you once had. I mean, you know, talk about that. I mean, like, do they suffer from this?
Well, those numbers that I just went through are a little bit dry, but let's reiterate them real quick. $43 million more from the state and 412 fewer students. And so at the end of the day, as these city school systems leave, there is a significant, you know, windfall to the county school system, if you will, because there's increased state funding. And so if you want to increase funding in education overall, the cities usually put more money into city schools. It's certainly what we've seen in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. And the state puts more money into rural schools. And you see that in this foundation calculation right here. And so that actually isn't a bad thing from a financial standpoint. And those are just facts and numbers. Now, does it feel better to have one, you know, Baldwin County school system as a whole? You know, that's up to the people to decide and not the legislature. You know, is it better for cities to have their own, you know, nucleus of their own school system and more local control? That's up to the people in those cities. You know, that's up to them. Is it financially damaging to the county school system? Absolutely not. It's a windfall to them. And so I think that's just something that needs to be discussed. And, oh, by the way, this tiny little sales tax issue that has brought up this big fight is about $5 million a year compared to this $43 million. It's kind of silly, a fight over something that small.
I see it about this, too, and you and I – I guess it was a couple of years ago when the Spanish Fort, it's this girls soccer team or something like that, had what was deemed to be an ineligible player. And you kind of went to bat there for them. And what it looked like the High School Athletic Association did was they had leverage over the entire county and this big county system. And, you know, it's Little River to Fort Morgan. There was sort of this implication, I guess. I don't know if it was implied. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but my suspicion was, hey, you make a mess of this Spanish Fort situation, and it'll have repercussions for the entirety of your system. I mean, it's things like that when you have this big behemoth that really, really do give these entities leverage over a big school system.
Well, and you're correct about that. And if you punish a big school system, it impacts more students than if you are able to carve out and isolate a smaller school system. And that's just a data point in a big system versus small system, a big county system versus a small city system conversation. And that's true for everything. Do you decide to close schools because of weather? You know, is there an icy patch in North Baldwin that prevents you from getting to the Perdita Elementary School, and so you close schools in Orange Beach? I remember that happening when it was still a county school system. And so little things like that, you know, are, hey, the county school system, if they do it for one, they have to do it for all. If they make a decision, it's applicable everywhere versus smaller, more centralized decisions that happen just in city school systems. And that's just the nature of the beast and a conversation that, you know, that voters in cities and counties need to have and make their own decision. My job is just to make sure that the funding is split up as equitably as possible for the children and not for the adults that are running the school system bureaucracy.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program for just a few more minutes. Senator, I got to think that your name is in the middle of this, and I'm going to ask you, I ask you this almost every time you're on. The gambling discussion doesn't go away. I keep hearing, well, maybe they're close, and then they're getting ready to move here. And, you know, you hear the chatter in the hallways any moment now. You were one of the two votes they thought would go along with them. Where are you on that? Is there anything you've seen that would make you vote yes on a potential gambling package?
Well, look, I've voted in favor of gaming before. I've also voted against gaming because the details were wrong. And so, you know, depending on what the bill is that's before us, that'll influence my vote one way or the other, inform my vote one way or the other. I will have to see what the proposal is. If it is a fair and equitable thing for the people of the state of Alabama, if it puts a lottery on the ballot for people to vote and it's not too festooned with special interest, you know, nonsense, then yeah, there's a possibility of that. But we are getting awfully short in the session to be having serious conversations about that. And we'll have to see. But it cannot be what we have seen before with, you know, this massive government expansion and things like, you know, Medicaid expansion and other things in it. Those are non-starters for me, a crummy way to run government and not something I'm going to be supportive of. And so whoever may be carrying this legislation needs to be very cognizant of that. Because, you know, if we push it like we did last year and it has all that kind of, you know, stuff in it, then I won't be supportive of it again.
Last question. We're going to have a bumpy ride here ahead, you think? I know the budgets are cut this coming week. I think you still got some of your bills, licensing boards and archives and history. And, you know, that looks like a hill that you are at least willing to die on. What is the rest of the session going to look like?
You know, that's a good question. And I think that probably a mix of some of both, right? I think, you know, we're going to see some just pretty basic run-of-the-mill, you know, non-controversial bills that move along through, that just have to move through the process. And then I think you will see that dotted with some controversial bills that the Democrats and, heck, even some of the Republicans don't like. And you may see, you know, like I think you called it bumpy, some bumpy parts too. And hey, that's the process and that's how it works. What's important to me is that we have the opportunity to at least discuss those bumpy things, those controversial things, and vote on those controversial things. I don't want to vote by not having them on the calendar. I want to vote by giving them an up at down vote and making a decision and actually governing. And I think that, you know, under the leadership of Pro Tem Gudger, we're gonna see some of that, and it'll look like the sausage being made, because that's what it is, and that's okay. That's an okay thing.
Senator, we'll leave it there. Look forward to seeing you next week up there, and we will reconvene next week.
Sounds good. Enjoy your weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me.